Cap. J-Hood.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago.
Okay, 9 o'clock in the great city of Chicago with my friend Jonathan Hood. With Danny, with Jeff. JR is engineering the big remote out at Flossmoor Country Club for Carmen Yerk today. You and I will be out there later. Danny's golfing. That's going to be phenomenal. Think how lucky that foursome is to have Danny in their foursome.
Absolutely.
Think how unlucky. I'm playing with the gentleman from the Pride Stores, great partners of ours here at ESPN 1000. I feel bad for them because they have zero shot of winning this tournament.
Danny, they're not worried about that. They have pride that the armchair nutritionist can give them guidance throughout the day. Don't eat that.
So not only are they not going to win the golf outing, they're also going to have me nagging them about everything they put in their mouths.
You sure you want to eat that pizza?
Don't you worry, though. I brought cigars for everyone in my foursome.
Nice.
I might have some cigars for you boys, too, if you're nice.
Nice.
Hoodie for sure gets a cigar.
I'll just take a blunt, Danny. Anyway.
Have you ever smoked a blunt?
Yes.
You've smoked a blunt?
Yes.
With who? Whom?
That's personal. Yes.
Wow.
Take that. Matt Nagy's already thinking about his post-Bears future.
Here's a guy here that wants to tell everybody everything, every little granular detail about their life, and here you come talking about, I smoked a blunt, but I won't tell you who. What kind of peekaboo nonsense is that?
Personal.
But why is it personal? There's nothing personal with you. I'm an open book. Like, so where's the book? What page is that on?
The blunt book. Didn't I tell you who?
I'm not going to do it. Because I know the punchline. No, you're not going to get me with that.
There's a great punch.
Nope.
Great punch.
You're not going to get me with that.
This is Matt Nagy.
I know the punchline.
For his post-Bears career.
I was hired to help you make this great team even better. We're doing paid time off, tuition assistance for school, too. And hey, if they put in the work, they can make manager on this team.
For McDonald's, Matt Nagy. Listen again at the beginning.
I was hired to help you make this great team even better.
Excuse me?
We're doing paid time off, tuition assistance for school, too. And hey, if they put in the work, they can make manager on this team.
How about that?
So we've got his future.
We do.
Would you like ketchup with your fries?
Exactly.
That's what his next job is after the Bears.
Excuse me, I need a McFlurry. Yeah, I need a McFlurry.
Need a McFlurry. That's where I'm at. I mean, come on.
We're bringing the McFlurry along slowly. Why don't you have a cup of coffee? Maybe a sweet roll. We'll get you the McFlurry. I know everyone's excited to try it. Let's just wait.
Yeah, no, we're going to go with the bacon McMuffin. That's what we're going to go with, and we feel really good about it. And yeah, no, we're not going to do that. We're going to have orange juice. Yeah, no, we're not doing that.
I know you're excited for the McFlurry. We are, too. We get it.
Yes.
But look, this plan has worked in Kansas City. And we think it'll work here.
Hey, Bob, I just want a number 5 with a coffee. He'll have that long explanation while he's on the headset.
Have we gotten the quarterback situation completely right?
No.
Have we won enough games? No. Everything else is there.
Yep, you're hired.
I was hired to help you make this great team even better. We're doing paid time off, tuition assistance for school, too. And hey, if they put in the work, they can make manager on this team.
Wow.
There you go.
That's amazing. He did with such enthusiasm, too.
He did.
He certainly did. Well, we know where Matt's job is next. After being the coach of the Bears, he will have a headset on trying to explain to you what you should have at McDonald's. And then at that point, you just drive away.
He'd be perfect with the headset on.
No.
With the menu on that big card.
Yeah.
Hi, my name's Matt. May I take your order? Yeah, what do you have today? Let's see. We got the special number 2.
Oh, we got a sausage. we got a Big Mac. It's just tremendous. I will tell you right now, we really like the Big Mac. We like him a lot. But, you know, I will just say that you should get the cheese deluxe. The bacon cheese deluxe is really good. That person just drove off.
He went
to White Castle.
Exactly.
He had enough.
I'm out of here.
Sir, hello? I thought I was good on the headset. What happened? Hello? I guess I wasn't good on the headset.
No, actually, that's Sean Desai. He's good on the headset. That's what I got for you.
All right. That's pretty awesome. So that's his first commercial.
That's it.
Since he's been here. How long has he been here?
This is year four.
He just got his first commercial.
I have not ever seen him do a commercial before. Danny, have you? Jeff?
No.
You and I can't remember anything. No. You remember Matt doing any kind of a commercial endorsement?
No, I don't think so.
That's got to be his first one since he's been here.
And you, if you're Matt Nagy's agent, you've got to be so pissed off that that dropped yesterday. After what your client's team did on Sunday night in front of a national audience, then all of a sudden he's there talking about a career at McDonald's.
McDonald's jokes. How may I help? Yeah, this is Matt Nagy's agent. This is Jonathan. Could we delay the release? Just let him win a game.
You know, over the last, I guess, what do you say, 15 plus years, 20 years. The Bears, you know, after Ditka, no one has the commercial cachet as the Bears head coach. Like, Ditka would do anything. He's pushing players out of the way so he can get the commercial money, right? The last Bears head coach that had a commercial was Lovey for NyQuil. Do you recall this?
No.
He had a NyQuil commercial. That's the last time he had one.
What'd they do? Just show his press conference?
Come on now, that's a cheap shot. I mean, he has no reason for that.
Dude, that guy was awful.
He said what he had to say. Actually, you know what? I'd prefer Lovey over Matt right now, because you knew what you're gonna get from Lovey. Not much, right?
Yeah.
So
nothing.
He'd have everything close to the vest, but Matt is over explaining. That's the problem.
You do know that Lovey was furious with the media because he felt that he should be treated, as he put it, it should be like I'm the head football coach at the University of Oklahoma. What I say is the absolute law. And he does not like being questioned. And so one day, the media, you've been in these scrums.
Yep.
There's 15 microphones out there. And Lovey's speaking. It's the last time they're going to hear from him. It's at the end of the season, the last game, before the last game. And Andy Seligman, you know who he is.
I do.
Redhead, about 6'8".
Yeah.
AP, very quiet, harmless, great guy. Andy Seligman. Yes, are you going to make any changes to your coaching staff? This was when Mike Martz was rumored to be in trouble. He's not going to answer it. And he keeps pushing him.
Mm-hmm.
Next thing you know, here comes media relations. Yeah, coach would like to see you over here. And he pulls him in one of those little rooms. Yeah, and it just goes off on him. When I don't want to answer a question, don't keep questioning me. Oh, stick it, coach. This is Chicago.
Yeah.
This isn't Hooterville, as you call it.
Yeah, this ain't college, you know, where you can intimidate the media in college.
Correct.
You can't do that in the pros.
No shit, not in this town.
Because you know what? I'll ask again. Or I'll have one of my teammates, one of my people on the media beat, ask the question. It'll get around the room.
Correct.
See? But you can't do that. But, yeah, I thought that was as funny to hear Matt Nagy in a McDonald's commercial after they lost against the Rams.
Let's go to the phone. Space is in Plainfield. Hey, Space, what's up?
What's up, Cap Hoodie? What's good, guys?
What up?
Hey, Space. Okay. Space is on the line.
How are you?
Oh, yeah. I'm here. Hey, while we're talking about Matt Nagy and McDonald's, go in and try the McNaggy meal. It includes a Diet Coke, saltless fries, and a veggie burger. Make sure you get in there and try it out as bland as possible, man. Because I'm telling you, man, he's messing the things up here in Chicago, man. He's the defense sucks, but the offense could have been 10 times better, man. He needs to surrender to play calling. And, I mean, they played a two-high safety on us all day. Run the football. Run the dang ball. What's wrong with them?
Give us a reason why we should not panic after week one.
Here's the reason why. I hope the Bears is not thinking like, who was the guy, Joe Pesci, or my cousin Vinny over there who called in talking about don't play Justin Fields. No shot. The reason why you don't panic is because Fields is going to get in the game, man. He has to. What did Jay Cutler ask? Oh, excuse me. What did Andy Dalton teach the kid here that he couldn't have learned already or learned on the fly? Mm-hmm. He taught him nothing. Put him in. The kid is ready. Put him in.
Space, have
That's
a great day.
That's why you don't panic, guys.
Appreciate you.
Now, hold
Thanks
on.
A lot, Chad.
Thank you. So,
what's up, Hoodie?
All right, man. Thank you. Appreciate it. Your finger don't work?
You said hold up.
No, I said thank you.
We'll bring the tape back. No. There was a hold up in there. Hold up.
No.
So I'm like, okay, I'm cut it off.
I was just going to ask. You know, when it comes to deep threats, I mean, he's mentioned Jay. Jay could throw the deep ball. Whatever you want to say about Jay, he was not trying to nickel and dime it. He did take shots down the field. We do recall this, right?
You're talking about Jay Cutler. Yeah. Yes, he took deep shots.
Yeah, more so than Andy did in week one against the Rams.
Yeah, he wasn't very good at it, but he definitely had a big arm.
Yeah, he said it was like he was like Jay Cutler, and I was like, no, Jay took shots down the field.
He did.
You know, there was a reason. I mean, I remember when Brandon Marshall and Jay Cutler were tweeting at one another, and it was almost like Brandon says, I'd love for you to come to Chicago, back and forth, and it happened, right? Until the relationship fell apart.
Correct.
Between those two.
Shocking. 312-332-3776. Let's get Harding in real quick. Hey, Harding, what's up, Cookie?
Hey, what's going on, guys? I'm going to talk you off the ledge really quick here. It's all about perspective. So prior to the Fields draft miracle, if we rewind back to the offseason day of the Andy Dalton signing, our entire city and field of the team was a rebuild was on the horizon. Nothing has changed. We lucked into Justin Fields because some teams decided to skip over him. But at the end of the day, the Nagy and Ryan Pace era still has to come to a conclusion. The Bears have to liquidate that defense, and they have to start getting young again and building around Justin Fields. So nothing has really changed. We are fooling ourselves to think that Justin Fields is going to make an immediate impact on this existing team. That's never the trajectory. Hopefully they get the right personnel in the front office and the head coaching position. But, guys, we have to be patient. We just luckily got the quarterback already, hopefully. That's all I got to say, guys. Take care.
Take care, Harding. Have a great day, man. All right, Friday was an amazing night for my partner, my friend. He takes us inside the broadcast booth. He did the White Sox game. He'll tell us some inside stuff next.
Lance Briggs?
Don't miss the conversation.
Cap and J-Hood?
Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Cap and Hoodie.
Bow, 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 bow. And listen to Cap and J-Hood at home and in the office.
Now, back to more Cap and J-Hood on Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Batting left, he's the DH tonight. First pitch popped up behind home plate, not a play. 0-1 that time, another fastball from Carlos at 92.
For some White Sox fans, he'll always be a Chicago Cub, so they're going to boo him even though he's in a Red Sox uniform.
As they are wont to do, Schwarber checked it up.
My radio partner David Kaplan would call him a beer league softball player. I totally disagree with that. That guy that can really rake. Connor, I received a text from Darren Jackson yesterday. It told me that
So he's got your number then?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, good.
Absolutely.
Sometimes I worry the DJ doesn't hold on to the numbers.
No, he has mine.
All right, what did DJ text?
DJ sent a text message to me and just let me know that there was some refreshments here in the booth to my right. As he put it, there are daddy sodas that are available. I thought that was an odd phrase. And I have not seen those daddy sodas. I'm wondering, is he pulling my leg?
Well, maybe just a little. Here's the 0-2 pitch, pounded in the left. Danny Santana turns around, and it's gone! Jose Abreu with an 0-2 three-run shot. And the White Sox lead it 3-0.
This place is lit. Guaranteed Rate is on fire right now as the fans stand up and applaud the three-run homer made by Jose Abreu. That's what the doctor ordered. So the way it works, Connor, I get up at 4, get to the studio at ESPN 1000 at about 5:30, and make sure that my partner David Kaplan's fed and he changed.
You're in charge of all of that.
Well, of course. It's in the contract.
First pitch to Sheets is a slider poured over the middle for a strike, 0-1.
So you got to make sure that, you know, he's got his sippy cup and make sure that he's awake for the meetings at 6.
And then we get going between 7 and 10 a.m. Central Time on ESPN 1000.
The 0-1 pitch is another slider, catches the outside corner. 0-2 now. Darwinson Hernandez has looked very good coming out of the Red Sox bullpen.
Of course, before all that happens, we got to listen to my partner's, you know, same stories three or four times.
The 0-2 misses in. 1-2. So you made sure David was going to listen to the broadcast tonight then, yeah?
Oh, no. I don't think he's aware, actually.
Well, that's what makes a good morning show, chemistry.
Working with David Kaplan is like the movie 50 First Dates. He can't remember anything from one moment to the other. Connor, it means so much to me to be here in the ballpark with you calling the game. As a lifelong White Sox fan, growing up on the South Side, 20 minutes from this edifice here, so awesome. When I was a kid, I wanted to make sure I had perfect attendance, and there's a reason.
There's the 0-2 pitch. Fastball misses outside. Good take from Aloy, 1-2. Tell me why.
Perfect attendance was always special for me because that meant free White Sox tickets. Of course, those free White Sox tickets at times were down the left field foul pole, and which meant I only watched half the game.
Yeah, but when you're a kid, all you want to be is in the park, right?
And take score. But I can only do half because I can only see half the game.
So you would keep score at the game as a kid?
Of course.
That's awesome.
I'm a baseball fan.
That
of course.
Awesome.
Again, we're talking about 83, 84 as a kid. I mean, the team was so hot then. The winning ugly White Sox was, I mean, it's very similar to this team here where it doesn't matter how you get it done, just get it done.
I love the idea that the 83, 84 White Sox kept you in school as long as they did. They were that good that you were there every day.
Yep, and demanding parents. That was the cherry on the sundae.
Good game tonight, 4-3. White Sox lead it. Craig Kimbrell is on out of the White Sox bullpen.
Nothing fancy, just an electric fastball and an unbelievable ohm bleep curveball.
Yeah, he can get everybody looking foolish.
Whew. Look at the fans all over the ballpark standing up, looking for the third out here. I think maybe a sweeping curveball. That'd be kind of cool. Let's see.
Here's the pitch. Swing and a miss. Kimbrell gets his man on a curveball.
That curveball was kind of cool.
I enjoyed the heck out of that broadcast on Friday night when my partner was in there with Connor. You guys were very, very good together. You had good chemistry. It was just a fun broadcast to listen to.
It was fun to do. It was fun to do. And little black stone there told you the curveball's coming. Bam! The curveball's right there. It's easy to call that when he only has two pitches.
Correct. Yes. No, it was very, very good. You're right. You channeled your black Steve Stone.
Right.
That was great.
It's like if I'm going to do that, I'm going to guess, you know, Kimbrell's going to throw the fastball, the curveball, one or the other.
It was a fun listen.
Yeah.
Fun to do. Like, you and I are exceptionally close,
yes.
And I know you, so I was amused. But even if they don't know you, they're just listening, it was just a fun broadcast to listen to.
It's cool. You get to the ballpark, and yeah, I guess the White Sox heard my crack about how I was going to get a cold hot dog when I get there. I'm not going to go to the Bards room.
I said to you, the Bards room will be open. You said they'll close it if they know I'm here.
Yeah, exactly. And then the chefs came, two chefs and an assistant came, and it's on my Instagram, IGJ Hood on Instagram, how they were able to lay out, you know, nice steak and hot dogs and shrimp and everything. It was really cool.
That beef tenderloin platter that they brought you, I saw the picture of you and the spread that they laid out, that sliced beef tenderloin, that's like my favorite food.
Dude, it was so good. And Ryan McGuire and Connor and Jesse, we all were able to take a bite or two. I waved Jesse in from the other booth, like, come on. Because it was Jesse's first time doing pre and post, too. So it was special. I was among friends, so I thought it was a really cool experience.
Yep, I'm happy for you. It was a lot of fun. And White Sox magic numbers down to 9.
Yes.
9.
And Los Angeles Angels are coming to town with Joe Maddon.
Correct.
It's going to be fun, man.
Joe was on the golf course yesterday with one of the Barstool guys. They were out playing golf and having a good time. So, looks like, and he told a couple friends of mine, when the Cubs got rid of me after 2019, I wanted to stay a couple more years. he wanted to be there through the 21 season when all these guys were going to be free agents. And then everything was in transition. Theo would be gone and all of it. And he didn't get that opportunity. Mm-hmm. That's the first time I've heard him lament that fact.
He didn't want to go, and you can understand why, right? He didn't want to go.
No.
Out of all the former coaches or managers, which one can say, this is still my town? There's Madden on that list. There's Quinville on that list.
Ditka.
Ditka's on that list.
Phil Jackson.
Phil. The whole thing with Phil is just, I don't understand, after the six championships, how come he didn't open up a cigar bar, hookah bar, bar. You would think after six, he's the most winningest coach, right?
Phil?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You would think he would have had a something here, right?
So he, you know, everyone's like, they should have kept that team together. He left to try and save his marriage.
I understand.
So he wasn't coming back, so he wasn't going to be part of this city. Then he went to L.A., and then he got engaged to Jeannie Buss. Now that's over, but he's never come back.
So Ditka is in a category by himself. So who's second amongst those former coaches that's still beloved? You would think Phil should be right there, right?
Right.
But then Phil went on to win championships with the Lakers,
right.
Executive with the Knicks. Yeah, you know.
Now he's in Montana, just gets high and hangs out and watches hockey.
What do you think out of all those names?
Like, Ditka's on,
by
he's
himself.
On a pedestal by himself.
Right.
I would say number two would have to be Joel Quenneville. He won three.
But Joe won.
And he was always really well liked.
Right.
Joe Madden, as beloved as he was for winning that title, there were a lot of people that went, yeah, it's time for a change. Move on. Like, I don't know many hockey people that wanted Joel Quenneville out, except Stan Bowman.
That's correct.
So
that's correct.
Right. So I would probably go Q second to Ditka, Joe Madden.
Yeah.
I mean, Dusty Baker got you almost to the World Series, and he's not beloved.
And then where's Ozzie?
Danny and Sylvie can't stand him.
Then where's Ozzie?
I just heard you say Dusty Baker, and I almost threw up in my mouth that you wouldn't even add him to this list.
No, it was not. The only other one I put on the list is Ozzie.
Yeah.
I still think it's Phil. I don't know why Phil wouldn't be number two to Ditka. Just because he does
beloved here.
Absolutely, he's beloved here. Absolutely, he's beloved here. It's Jordan, Pippen, Phil, Rodman.
Yeah, I'm not saying he's disliked, but he disassociated himself and wants no part of Chicago.
But I think that whether he disassociated himself, that's him towards us. But I think the fan base here still loves him for what he brought. I mean, those 90s Bulls teams were bigger than the Beatles, and he was the head man of that. And I think that he's second on the list. I think you guys are too quick to dismiss him.
Yeah, I guess maybe I misunderstood then Hoodie's question. I'm saying the love is reciprocated both ways. Like, Mike Ditka, this is his home.
Right.
And he does commercials here, and he's got restaurants here and all of it.
Well, nobody else reciprocates it. Joe Madden's off in L.A. doing his thing in Anaheim. Quinville's in Florida doing his thing. Like,
Madden still comes here for charity stuff, right?
He does.
Yeah,
he still comes around. He talks openly about his love for the city. Phil Jackson doesn't.
No, but then that's Ozzie Guillen would be second on the list because everybody else has their other something else going on that's their current, their present moment.
Like, I believe Joel still has a place here.
Mm-hmm.
So
three Stanley Cup rings.
Yes. And Ozzie. Those are the three for me.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. Cap, hopefully maybe you and I will be able to do a game again. So as I did a game with Connor, you and I doing a couple of games, and especially the high school game in the middle of the pandemic, that was super cool
that
too.
That was awesome.
Because you're doing it with your friend.
Right.
That's the thing that I liked.
Hoodie and I did it. What did we do, a doubleheader?
We did a doubleheader.
No, we did three.
We did, yes.
Three games.
So we had three high school games together last season.
We've done college together.
The college games, Bill and Mary against UIC.
It'd be William and Mary.
Bill and Mary, as they call it there. A fine couple and also makes a fine college.
Yep.
So when you're doing it with someone that you really enjoy, like with Connor. That's the first time we did anything on the air together, Connor and I.
I've worked with Connor. I like Connor a lot.
Yeah.
He's a good dude.
Been working with you doing UIC. That, it just makes it more comfortable. People kept asking, was I nervous? I wasn't nervous at all. Danny was hoping I would be nervous. He was like, you're nervous. I was like, no, I'm the Rock of Gibraltar.
I wasn't hoping you'd be nervous. I was hoping you'd cry. I just assumed you would be nervous.
He got that out when he saw the sign at Guaranteed Rate.
I bet you he would have cried if he found out about this on the air.
Well, it didn't work out that way. It was behind closed doors.
That's it.
That's how that works. But it was so much fun, man. And hope to do it again someday down the line, way down the line, because there's no daddy sodas. I was promised some adult beverages.
Well, Darren Jackson should stop by and bring you some daddy sodas.
I never got it.
Come on, Darren, you're better than that. Jesse Rogers on the White Sox, and maybe even that minor league team up on the north side next. Oh.
Cap J. Hood.
Follow on Instagram at Cap J. Hood.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Jesse Rogers is our guy. Heard Jesse doing the White Sox pre and post the other day when Hoodie was on the broadcast with Connor. Jesse joins us right now. Jesse, good morning. How are you, Sparkles?
Doing great. Doing great. It was great to be with you, Jonathan, on Friday. We had a yes. blast. That was a great game, and it was a great broadcast by you guys. Great job.
Jesse,
thank you very much, sir.
It was a lot. It was a. I told you, Hoodie. It was a fun broadcast. You brought fun to the pregame, and Jonathan and Connor were just. It was just a fun listen to that game. So let's talk about this White Sox team. This is a club that has a magic number of 9. Carlos Rodon in the game, Hoodie called, looks like he's healthy again. And Lance Lynn looks like he's healthy again. What is the status of this injured club, the status of Tim Anderson?
If you could draw up a blueprint, which I'm sure the White Sox did several weeks ago, and see it play out to your benefit, to your liking, we're seeing it play out. I thought Rodon was fantastic. He lost a little steam in his last inning, but that's kind of expected. Lynn was great. Now tonight we find out what Giolito looks like, as well as Tim Anderson, scheduled to be activated and ready to go. They're going to ease him back in. Similar, I think even La Russa said it over the weekend, kind of like spring training. He might play a couple games and then sit one. I mean, they do have this luxury of the big lead going to clinch within the next week or so. So, Cap, it's kind of working as planned. Now, there might be a hiccup these last couple weeks, but so far so good. We'll find out about two of the walking wounded tonight, Giolito and Tim Anderson. But I would expect things to go pretty well for both guys. They've had the rest that they've needed. Extra rest, in a sense, in my mind, for Tim Anderson. So let's see how he rolls. And just to wrap up that thought, they're 19-16 on the season when Tim Anderson is not in the starting lineup. Not bad, but not tremendously, great or dominating. 19-16. Of course, that means they're 63-45 when he's in the lineup. We know what he means.
Jesse, what did you think overall of the White Sox effort against the Red Sox?
It was great. It was fine. I have no problem with anything that went on over the week. And even if they lost a couple games, I am a guy that has not made a big deal of their record against plus 500 teams. Right now, updated, they're 25-29. Against the better teams in the league. It'd be better if it was 29-25, but it's not a big deal. That doesn't give you an idea what the playoffs are going to look like. I think we all know it's going to be a tough road. They could be out in the first round. They could go to the World Series. So what they did against the Red Sox just kind of reinforced what we thought. They're a good team. They're going to play some tight games come October, and hopefully they come out on top, but there's a chance they may not. There's other playoff teams that are under 500 against plus 500 teams. The Atlanta Braves are 28-36, for example. The Boston Red Sox are a game under as well, and they're right there in the hunt. So I don't view them, if they had won two or lost, I don't view that as a big deal. We know they can play with the big boys. Now they just get to finish it off. Lourie Garcia, man, what I think he filled in great for Tim Anderson, had the walk-off. And, Tony La Russa took issue. Like, don't call him a utility guy. He's a regular player that plays all over. I think it's probably the same way you'd probably describe Ben Zobrist back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
Utility kind of gives that thought that he plays once or twice a week. They love him moving all over. And with Vaughn hurting a little bit, I think they're going to continue to play Garcia all over with Anderson back.
All right, so Joe Maddon is in town.
Yes. Hopefully on the show today, I'm sitting in for Waddle and Sylvie, and he's got a Dylan Bundy sim game to deal with, but I'm hoping to have Joe on the show. So go ahead.
Okay, so he was out playing golf with, Barstool Chief, one of those guys. They were out playing golf. And some friends of mine have seen Joe in town. Joe has made it clear that when he left in 2019, and he's really never talked about this, he said, yeah, I wanted to stay actually through 2021. And then when Theo's deal was up, my deal would be up and all the players. And then they could go on and do their rebuild or whatever it was. And I wasn't given that chance. I've really not heard him be that definitive that he did not want to leave. He's always said, yeah, it was time and they moved on and I moved on. It was mutual. Do you think he still deep down goes, I got screwed in Chicago?
Deep down, the answer is yes. Deep down, the answer is yes. We all kind of knew he wanted to stay. Look, he talked about staying all the way up until the moment Theo didn't want him, right? That's the bottom line.
Yes.
And in that moment, it was the weirdest press conference ever, the two of them in St. Louis. Remember, sadly, a cameraman had a heart attack right before this press conference in St. Louis. So instead of the dugout, we took it inside. It was Theo and Joe right next to each other talking mutually how they wanted to part ways and all this stuff, but they were still buddies. And the bottom line is he wanted to stay until Theo said they didn't want him back. That's it. I know that for a fact. Now, look, I think he would have taken a five-year contract, but he definitely wanted to stay for at least two more years, like you said, or through the end of that run. But he would have taken as long as they would have given him. There's no doubt in anyone's mind he wanted to continue on. And I don't know, you know, people can debate, is he vindicated because they didn't do much after he left? They kind of did similar. They were a winning team for a while, but the offense stunk, kind of like what they were when he was here at the end. So I'm not sure if he's vindicated or not. I sort of was understanding of the change in direction at the time, more like the change in message. It wasn't anything against Joe or even Theo Lee. Like, sometimes you need a new message. And I thought he was going to win a little bit quicker with the Angels. We'll see. He's got a couple years left. If he gets them there, you still have to have pitching, and they haven't had that in L.A. or Anaheim. But, yes, I think he definitely wanted to stay. And you're right. He never has said it so definitively, partly because they just wanted to end on good terms and why cause.
Yeah, make sure you ask him about that, because that's interesting stuff to hear that
talk. Yeah, I think he would say it in his own way. Sure, if they had offered me, I would have stayed. I think he would say that in the right way.
Jesse, the Sox just announced 6 roster moves. They have reinstated shortstop Tim Anderson from the 10-day IL. They've reinstated Lucas Giolito from the 10-day IL. They've recalled catcher Zach Collins from Class AAA Charlotte. Andrew Vaughn to the 10-day injured list with lower back inflammation. He's been struggling mightily. They've optioned infielder Danny Mendick to Charlotte, and they've optioned catcher Sebby Zavala to Charlotte.
A couple surprises there. Yeah, let's start with Vaughn's lower back inflammation. That wasn't necessarily revealed over the weekend or when he wasn't playing. It was leg issues, maybe stemming from his back. So that's something to follow. Vaughn has been hurting for a while now, and so he's going to be out almost close to the playoffs at this point. He's retroactive to the 10th, so he'll be back with time to get rolling. But that's interesting. Lower back inflammation, that's not something you want to deal with in September. Now, Zavala for Collins Collins for Zavala is also interesting. So and here's my other guest today. Tony La Russa is going to be on with myself and Xander this afternoon between 2 and 6:30. So a bunch of things to ask Tony about these injuries. But the good news is Anderson and Giolito are back with the team. And those are the big names.
The Zavala thing is interesting, though. I mean, if I had my druthers, I'd have Zavala over Zach Collins.
You know, I didn't think that for a while. I sort of agree with you. I think it's kind of at this point 6, half a dozen or the other, because Zavala had his run there, right? And then he kind of came back down to earth a little bit. I don't know who's going to be the main catcher come October, or if they'll keep 3, both of them on the roster, both backups. But it's an interesting question for Tony La Russa today.
The big story there, we can't bury the lead, is Tim Anderson being reinstated.
And plenty of time to get his legs right. Hopefully this is it. And like I said, they're going to ease him back in. It won't be every day. But hopefully, like with 7 to 10 days to go, it's not even something we talk about anymore, with his legs.
One last thing, Jesse, regarding Joe Madden. What have you heard about Madden's time with the Los Angeles Angels? Is it similar to the Cubs? Is it freewheeling and fancy free?
I've seen him in spring training, and they did similar stuff. Remember, he brought over the strength and conditioning guy, Tim Bussey, who was kind of the stir that stirred everything up with the Cubs. So, yes, it's similar.
The straw that stirred the drink, Jesse.
Yeah, I right. the straw that stirred the drink. I thought he'd have a little bit more success quicker there, but you got to have pitching, and they haven't had pitching. So I'm not sure if he's under the gun there or not. 2 years to go, we'll find out. But I thought he'd have a better year this year. It doesn't help when Mike Trout's out for the year. Of course, he's still going to have the MVP, and waiting on when Ohtani's going to pitch this week. Hopefully it's against the Sox one of these days, because I know fans would love to see him. But, yeah, I think it's still the same Joe Maddon, but they're just not winning as much.
Hey, man, have a great rest of your day and have a good show, okay?
You got it, guys. Take care.
There he is, the great Jesse Rogers.
Jesse will team with Mark Zander between 2 and 6:30 in for Waddle and Sylvie this afternoon. It sounds like if it's a Jesse show, it's star-studded. There's going to be a lot of quality guests on there this afternoon.
What do you got, Brent Seabrook on, Danny?
He's going to have Michael Jordan.
I already warned him. He's like, oh, I've got so many guests. I'm like, Jess.
It's not what we do.
Let's maybe rethink what we're doing here.
Yeah, exactly.
That's I Jesse, though.
He came in to host with me one day. He says to Danny, I want Brent Seabrook on.
He's like, I can't just talk to Xander for 4.5 hours.
Danny's like, we're not putting Brent Seabrook on. He's a nice man. He's a good player. He's not a great interview. No chance.
Oh, listen, no offense to Brent Seabrook. He should get a job with Calm. I mean, he could easily help you fall asleep.
Well said. There you go. Anyway, we will come right back. Do you have a lot of arm hair? That's next.
Captain J-Hood. J-Hood.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch us and join the chat. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago on twitch.tv or the Twitch app.
So, I walked into the IDOT bullpen today. By the way, IDOT reminds me that driving responsibly in construction and work zones really is a matter of life or death. Learn more online or through social media at lifeordeathillinois.com.
I was drinking.
I was last night. But the monitor, I'm short, and the monitor is behind another one, so I have to stand on my tiptoes to read that.
I can read that, but you go right ahead. Stretch out.
There you
Mine
go.
Is right here. Convenient.
Yes, nice and convenient. You're not blocked by a second monitor. Anyway, and I hear Danny say something about arm hair.
Uh-huh.
Danny has a significant amount of arm hair.
Yes.
I do. Meller, a reasonable amount. You don't have much.
No, I don't need it.
So, I don't think any of us need it.
No, I mean, but some do need it because they're macho, right? Me in particular, I shave it off and put it in other places.
Excuse me?
Yeah, I like to shave it off and put it in other places.
Like where?
Well, that's private. Take that.
You're an open book.
No. Not when it comes to my arm hair.
Yeah.
That's private. Take that.
I only have arm hair, though, from the elbow down.
Yes, so do I. Because
I get the rest of it waxed off.
Yes.
Wait a minute. You wax your arms?
Just the top part where my tattoos are.
What else do you wax?
Shoulders.
And?
I used to my back, but I don't have any because so many years of getting it taken off, it's dead. It's gone.
How about around the cap?
No.
No?
Sylvie got me a gift. I used that. The lawnmower 3.0.
Yes.
From
yes.
Manscaped.
That's
How
right.
often do you wax your arms?
Every, like, 5 weeks.
You go to, like, a salon to do this, or you do this yourself?
At the salon.
This is the greatest
Salon.
Revelation ever, Hoodie. I'm so upset we don't have another hour of the show right now. Oh, my God. Why didn't we wait to do this at 9:55?
A salon, huh? Well, they get your arms waxed.
I go and I get a manicure, yeah. And I get that done. Yes.
Bikini wax?
No. No.
Have you thought about it?
No, I have the Manscaped Lawnmower 3.0 package that Sylvie got me as a gift.
You do it yourself, right?
Yes.
Or does someone do it for you?
No, I do it.
Okay. Because that's a dangerous game there. You have someone else do that.
Yeah.
I ran into that one time.
Yeah, no shot.
I'll do it for you.
Oh, God! Snipped! I was circumcised as a baby! Don't need the gift.
Honey, boy, I tell you what. Your hand's a little shaky. Take that.
Come here, Jonathan.
Not tonight!
Baby, could you do this for me?
Oh, Jeez! I'm bleeding. Get out.
Yes. So, Danny, why did you ask the question about Army?
Okay. Well, remember a while ago we played Kevin from North Carolina on the Paul Feinbaum show talking about how he could drink 20-something beers on an average college football Saturday.
Right. Yes.
So he struck again. He called Feinbaum on his last show, and he was talking to Feinbaum, and he pointed out Feinbaum's arm hair situation. Take a listen.
Check the underside of your right forearm. You got dirt there, or is there a bruise or something, or am I hallucinating?
You're talking about my right arm?
Your right arm, yeah.
It's just hair. That's all. That's going in 50 different directions.
So he's questioning Feinbaum's
arm. That guy's the greatest caller. He's questioning his arm hair.
That guy
and I think arm hair is an interesting thing because guys like Feinbaum have a lot. I'm now finding out you wax yours. I tried to trim mine once.
Mm-hmm. You did?
Yeah, with like the Manscaper thing. I tried to trim it down. I hate hair. Like body hair is just nasty to me. Especially if you're somebody that exercises because you get all sweaty and then it gets all like soupy and nasty. So I tried to groom it off, but my kids hated it. They thought it felt funny.
Yeah. No, my arm hair doesn't grow out that much for it to be cut like that, honestly. So
I know Waddle used to like trim his leg hair. I remember him telling us.
I don't have any hair around my ankles at all because years of athletics getting my ankle taped.
Yeah.
They would rip it off, and it would rip the hair out, and finally the follicles died. Same thing with my back.
Yeah.
I got no hair on my back.
No.
And I got a hairy chest.
Yes.
So I shaved my chest one day. I'm like, you know what? I'm shaving it.
Yeah.
And I took the, clippers.
Yeah.
Got it really short, and then took a blade and got it all the way completely gone.
Like a Bic shaver?
Like, no, I used Dollar Shave Club.
Oh, I see.
Shaved it in the shower. I mean, completely nothing. And my wife hated it. She's like, that's so stupid. I like your hairy chest. And on top of it, after like 3 days, now it's picky and itched like a mother. It was brutal. Never again.
You would think that you would check in with Mindy on some of the things that she likes about you. You're so selfish that you're just doing it for yourself. Check in with her.
I always do.
But what about the chest, the hair thing?
That was years ago.
I disagree with Hoodie, and I don't disagree with Hoodie very often, as you know, but I feel like your body hair, your choice.
Well, hold on
a second.
I don't
care if my wife likes it or not. I want it off.
Okay, what if Diana said to you tonight, Danny, could you do me a favor? I hate your hair. Could you cut it?
You know how many times she's told me to get a haircut in the last 3 weeks?
How many?
At least a dozen.
Really?
Does it sound it or look as if I'm listening?
No. You're just going to do what you want to do.
Yes.
Because it's your body, your hair.
I got a mind.
Okay.
How if I went up to her tonight when I went home and I'm like, hey, Di, I think you should go get a haircut. How would that go over for me?
That's different.
Why?
Because
this is 2021, Cap. Careful. You'll get canceled.
I'm not getting canceled. I respect my wife. She likes long hair. I'm not going to tell her to cut her hair short. But
she can tell you what to do. She made you shave your beard.